Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday, February 21st. This is Rod, and our other readers are Jenny, Kevin and Jane. The editor this week is John. All are members of Team 2. This week's sponsor is Knox Cropper. We provide expertise across the full range of accountancy services, including taxation, VAT, audit and assurance, and governance and compliance. Based in Apsley, telephone 218309, website www.knoxcropper.com. Many of our items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berk Hampstead and Tring Gazette newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442, unless stated otherwise. This week's headlines: Tring sees red over 1,400 home development plan. Top Hearts cop sacked after lying about affair. Hearts woman recalls brush with death after suicide attempt. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Jenny. Homes plan anger. Tring residents are battling plans for a new suburb of 1,400 houses that some locals claim is being implemented by stealth. The proposed 300-acre development, Marshcroft Farm, would sit on green belt land on the town's eastern edge of Tring, increasing its population of around 12,000 by nearly 28%. Plans submitted by developer Harrow Estates are in their final stages, with a decision by Decorum Borough Council expected in mid-March. The development has prompted widespread opposition amid complaints that it will concrete over picturesque countryside and overwhelm local services and infrastructure, including the water supply. It has received almost 450 objections compared to just one letter of support. Alongside Marshcroft, a separate development of approximately 400 homes off Grove Road is proposed to be built at a similar time. Together, these schemes could lead to a total of 1,800 new houses in the local area, increasing its housing stock by 35%. Tring Town Council has also come out against the plan, which campaigners believe would make Tring so big it would no longer be considered a market town. The chair of the council's planning committee, Councillor Robert Farrow, wrote in a newsletter, "This is the largest response I have seen to any application. The scale of public response reinforces the council's position." There were also 34 formal responses from consultee bodies, including British Pipelines, the Environment Agency, National Rail, Thames Water, the National Trust, and Historic England, many of which raised concerns or objections. As reasons for its rejection, the town council cited potential impacts on the setting and special qualities of the Chilterns National Landscape, the loss of high-quality agricultural land, potential harm to the openness of the Green Belt, unresolved infrastructure considerations, particularly water supply, and the fact that the local plan process is still ongoing, making any approval premature. Thames Water objected to the plans, saying even if the homes were built, they would not be occupied without water and sewage upgrades that could take years to complete. Almost identical plans were previously submitted in 2022, but were rejected by Decorum Borough Council, with an appeal rejected by the then Housing Secretary Michael Gove at an inquiry and by London's High Court. However, locals were dismayed to discover they had been resubmitted and included in Decorum's new local plan in 2024, which was revised following changes to national planning policy and Green Belt guidance to help meet Labour's target of building 1.5 million new homes.
Hello, this is Kevin, and more on this story. Resident Fiona McKillop, 33, told of her horror at the prospect of thousands more local homes. "I just think having so many homes will change the place. I moved here because it was quiet," she said. Grovefields Residents Association committee member Keith Baker told the Daily Mail, "We really think that Decorum are implementing their local plan by stealth. That's a pretty brazen accusation from us, but they've already done it in Berkhamsted with another major application that was opposed by more than 1,000 people, but they still approved it. I suspect that there's a very hefty number of decorum councillors who are councillors for the more urban parts of the borough saying, we don't want any more development here. Tring and Berkhamsted have got plenty of space, so put it there. Where that analysis breaks down is that there are actually a very good reason why we have. The developers have promised that around 50% of the new housing will be affordable. But those opposing the plan say the affordability is only relative to other properties in the area, meaning the affordable homes will not be in the price range for young people who want to move out of their parents' houses to stay in Tring. Submitted plans promise land allocated within the site for a primary and secondary school and medical facilities, but locals worry that these never come to fruition because they are not obliged to build or fund them. Instead, that responsibility falls on the already cash-strapped councils. Baker and another campaigner identified as David said they feared that if the plans for Marshcroft are approved, it would set a precedent for similar large developments on other greenbelt areas, with developers using it as a positive case study. A spokesman for Harrow Estate said proposals for Marshcroft Farm have undergone extensive scrutiny, including a previous appeal where a planning inspector recommended approval. The site is now proposed for inclusion in the emerging decorum local plan, reflecting its role in meeting the borough's high housing need. Our updated application retains the homes for older people, 1,000 square metres of commercial space, new schools, sports and health facilities, and a flexible community building, while increasing affordable housing from 45 to 50%. Tring Town Council and the Grove Field Association have formally challenged aspects of the local plan, which the Decorum Borough Council revised in 2024, and are fighting to have the Marshcroft development removed from it altogether.
Hello, this is Jane, dishonest on duty. A senior Hertfordshire police officer has been dismissed without notice after he lied about an affair with another police officer. Chief Superintendent Matthew Thompson was found to have lied to his line manager and concealed relevant information from the head of professional standards by a police misconduct panel that concluded last Friday. Thompson, who is married, had a sexual relationship in 2024 with a female police officer referred to as Witness A. The relationship took place outside of work. During a six-day hearing, the misconduct panel found that Thompson's actions in hiding details about the relationship over an extended period amounted to gross misconduct that justified dismissal. The panel's chair, Assistant Chief Constable Nicholas Davison, said Thompson had been dishonest while on duty. Thompson, who accepted his actions amounted to misconduct but not to gross misconduct, began his police career as a special constable in 1995 before rising to a senior rank. Among his responsibilities was acting as an on-call gold commander and leading the police responsible to critical incidents in Hertfordshire. He received 4 commendations, including one for rescuing an elderly man from a burning house in 2002. The relationship between Thompson and Witness A was discovered by Witness B, who informed the police force. Over the course of several weeks after Witness B's discovery, Thompson failed to tell his line manager or the head of professional standards about the full circumstances of the relationship.
More on this story. By the time he was facing a formal misconduct investigation, he had still not disclosed all of the relevant details the panel heard. Mr. Thompson admitted during the hearing that he had lied to his line manager, Assistant Chief Officer Kat Hemmings, when she asked him a direct question regarding a particular detail about the affair. But he told the panel that his lie had not been deliberate and had no sense of being rational at that time. Thompson added, "I've been completely remorseful and apologetic. It's so out of character. I'm ashamed of what I've done. I'm sorry for the hurt I've caused and the inconvenience I've caused to the organisation. I'm just sorry for putting everyone in this horrible position." But the panel chair, Davidson, concluded that Thompson's remorse was self-centred and focused on the consequences to him, adding that he had consistently resisted admitting to any real level of culpability for the impact of his actions. The panel found Thompson had broken the standards of professional behaviour relating to honesty and integrity, orders and instructions and duties and responsibility. It accepted that Thompson was a capable senior officer who previously had an unblemished record as a police officer, and noted that character statements suggested he is a man of integrity and decency. But announcing the panel's findings, Davidson said, "A good man can fall in error. It is only in times of strain that credibility may truly be tested. The officer's sense of self-preservation overrode his otherwise honest nature." The panel was not required to make a ruling on a further allegation that Mr. Thompson had failed to act on serious safeguarding concerns relating to Witness A. Matthew Butt, KC, representing Thompson, argued that he should have been given either a final written warning or a demotion and offered a second chance. But the panel found that options other than dismissal would fail to maintain public confidence in the police. Thompson will also be added to the College of Policing barred list. Following the hearing, Hertfordshire Chief Constable Andy Proffitt said, "This officer's behaviour clearly fell well short of what is expected of a serving Hertfordshire police officer, and it is further exacerbated as he is an individual with 27 years experience and of Chief Superintendent rank." The misconduct panel's verdict is subject to appeal.
Zoe's second chance. A young woman who tried to take her own life by jumping off a bridge into a busy road has told her story to help others in the same despair. Zoe St. Gobain, now a 34-year-old, stood for 90 minutes in the cold on the bridge in Tring before placing her keys and purse on the ground and trying to end her life. Incredibly, she survived the fall and was airlifted to John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford. "I should have died," she said, "but now I want people to know that I'm glad that I didn't." The fall did, however, break every major bone in Zoe's body from her waist downwards. Her pelvis was shattered into 11 pieces and she needed both knees and both hips replaced during more than 150 hours of surgery. The impact caused multiple bleeds on the brain and she was in a coma for weeks. "Nobody expected me to wake. All the professionals agreed that if I did, I would be needing round-the-clock care." The fall took place in May 2018 when Zoe was 27. Living in Hemel Hempstead, she had beaten a heroin addiction and was holding down a full-time managerial job in a car dealership and had even earned a promotion. On the surface, it seemed that her life was smooth sailing, but in reality, her mental health was crumbling. I'd never been an adult without the numbness of heroin," she said. "I was getting prepared for the apocalypse, filling my car with enough stuff to start my own civilization. At the time, it was all perfectly logical," she recalls. Increasingly depressed, Zoe booked a couple of weeks off work and for 8 days in a row she drove to the bridge, but something always made her drive home again. On the final night, she even phoned a drug and alcohol helpline and explained that she was struggling. "I was told that if I gave a drug positive urine test, I could see someone from crisis team within 24 hours. If I didn't, it would be a 6-month minimum wait. I was not willing to relapse and to take drugs," she said. The following lunchtime, she jumped from the bridge. Today, she remembers nothing from that day and only knows what the police called to the scene have told her. "It was probably something random and petty that toppled me over the edge, but I know the real problem stemmed from my childhood, she said. Born in Milton Keynes to a family of 11 children, including three sets of twins, but an absentee father, young Zoe's nickname from her half-siblings was the Rat, and she was taken into care at the age of 14. Several foster homes later, she found comfort in heroin, using up to £20 worth of the drug each day before school or work. Today, Zoe is clean from drugs, attends Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous fellowships, and is a regular at her local church in Hemel Hempstead, where she's currently working on getting baptised. But her biggest battle of all has been learning to walk again, with the lower half of her body held together with 17 titanium plates and around 100 screws. 7 years on, the council has moved her to a ground floor flat, and she spends her days practicing walking further and further around the community on her crutches. The day she managed to walk with one crutch instead of two was a major victory, she says. Zoe hopes her story and inspiring videos could prevent other people in despair from attempting to take their own lives, and she wants to spread the message that there is hope at the end of a dark tunnel. Her own life is now incredibly good, she says. I'm getting better all the time, and my balance and memory issues are improving as my brain starts to heal after the traumatic brain injury. I'm so, so grateful for everyone that has helped me. Okay. If you're in need of help, you can get in touch with Samaritans 24/7 by calling 116 123 for free to talk about any difficulties, struggles, or worries you're facing. Yeah, okay. They offer confidential, non-judgmental support via phone, email at jo@samaritans.org, that's jo@samaritans.org, or through their online chat service.
Okay, this week in history, February the 22nd, 1957, Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, was formally granted the style and titular dignity of Prince of the United Kingdom by the Queen in recognition of his 10 years of service to the country. February the 23rd, 1953, an amnesty offered by the government to Second World War deserters brought in applications from more than 3,000 servicemen and 14 servicewomen. On this day last year, folk singer Bill Fay, known for songs such as The Healing Day and Thank You Lord, died aged 81. His record label announced with great sadness. February the 24th, 1938, a nylon toothbrush, the first commercial nylon product, went on sale in New Jersey. On this day last year, Roberta Flack, the Grammy-winning singer known for Killing Me Softly with his song and other hits, died aged 88, publicist Elaine Shock said in a statement. February the 25th, 1922, French mass murderer Henry Bluebeard Landru was guillotined for the murder of 10 women and a teenage boy whose bodies were never found. On this day last year, Sir Keir Starmer denied that Donald Trump was setting UK government policy, as he said that the choice to increase defence spending to 2.5% of GDP is very much my decision.
Council tax up 5%. Hertfordshire County Council has agreed a £1.2 billion budget to provide services in 2026-27, which includes a 4.99% increase in council tax and a £55 million in savings. Education, social care, highways, libraries, public health and the fire and rescue service are all among the services delivered in Hertfordshire by the County Council. On Tuesday, a meeting of the Council determined how the money should be divided. The largest proportion, £563 million, will be allocated to adult care services, £309 million to children's services and £133 million to growth and environment, which includes waste disposal and highway services such as gritting. Presenting the Liberal Democrat spending plan, Executive Member for Resources and Performance, Councillor Chris Lucas, told the meeting it was a compassionate and inclusive budget. He said it had been designed to provide access and support to the services that residents need for a safe, fulfilling, healthy and dignified life. And he said it provided long-term financial stability. He highlighted the government's new funding formula, which he said would take away £40 million from the County Council over the next 3 years and the need for £55 million savings and efficiencies. Referring to the 4.99% increase in council tax, equivalent to £88 a year for a Band D property, Lucas admitted that, given the challenges that residents are facing, proposing such a rise has been a very difficult decision. However, the alternative would be to make significant cuts to council services at a time when people need them the most. 73% of the council's net revenue budget is funded by council tax, Lucas added. Most of the new savings were aimed at making services more efficient and would not essentially impact the quality, quantity or scope of services being provided, he told the council. Labour and the Green Party backed the Liberal Democrats to vote in favour of the proposals. Giving a cautious welcome to the proposals, Green Party leader Kirsty Taylor-Moran said the budget contained steps in the right direction, but she said it was still shaped by a national funding system that is fundamentally broken and by a political culture that too often confuses short-term survival with long-term vision. Labour spokesman Councillor Ian Albert described the budget as fair and sustainable. The opposition Conservative group said it was a budget built on a wing and a prayer. Its leader, Councillor Richard Roberts, highlighted a reduction in the amount allocated to the voluntary sector from 16 million to 13 million. And he said the budget for highways maintenance had gone backwards with no inflation uplift. Following the debate, the budget was agreed with 40 councillors voting in favour and 31 against.
Abbott's data centre funds boost. The government has announced £40 million funding for a heat network linked to a huge data centre due to be built in the M25 corridor on Greenbelt land outside Abbott's Langley. In May 2025, then Housing Secretary Angela Rayner overturned Three Rivers District Council's decision to refuse the scheme, which is the size of 12 football pitches. Last week, the government published details of community energy investment funding with $1 billion divided up between a raft of projects, including $40 million for a network to deliver heat from the centre to homes, schools and public buildings. The full data centre project is set to cost around $1 billion. The government says that heat networks form an important part of the government's plan to reduce carbon and cut heating bills for customers. When the data centre was approved, Three Rivers Council leader Stephen Giles Medhurst said, despite the people of Abbots Langley and further afield not welcoming this application and us fighting tooth and nail to protect this green space, both the planning inspector and the Secretary of State believed that the data centre did not constitute inappropriate development. He added, in my view, there is little gain for the village apart from an extra country park and some low-level employment. What this decision means is putting up with mega warehouse-type buildings across our green belt.
And here's this week's obituary. Janet Helen Knowles, knee smart, died 31st of January 2026, aged 77 years. She will be greatly missed by her loving family and many friends. The funeral is at Beerton Crematorium on Friday 27th of February at 1 p.m. and afterwards at Pendley Manor Hotel. Donations, please, to the Hospice of St. Francis Berkhamsted, inquiries to Malcolm Jones and Metcalf Tring on 828394. May she rest in peace.
Heath Bourne bid. A Hemel Hempstead pressure group is to be given a 2-month head start to pull together a bid to turn the Grade 2 listed Heath Bourne into a community centre before a sale to develop the site for housing is launched publicly. Heath Bourne in Boxmoor, believed to be one of the oldest sets of buildings in Hemel, was formerly used by the County Council as the music centre, but it has been empty since the centre was moved to the refurbished facilities at the Hemel Hempstead School next door. Last week, the County Council's Cabinet agreed that the site, which already has permission for residential development, could be disposed of, but it also agreed that any general marketing of the site should be paused for 2 months. That pause is so that R. Heath Bourne, which has been set up as a community interest company, a CIC, can work on its bid, which could see the property developed into a creative and well-being community hub and cafe. After those 2 months, councillors agreed that the St John's Road site should go on the open market for a further 2 months. The outcome of that process will then be reported back to the council's resources and performance cabinet panel before a decision is taken. Council leader Steve Jarvis highlighted the need not to delay the agreed disposal of council assets. I think there are some particular issues around this site, which perhaps it would be useful for the cabinet panel to hear the results of. But clearly what we don't want is to introduce further delay to asset disposals when everyone has agreed that they should be disposed of. Heath Bourne has been owned by the council for decades. It agreed to move the music centre to the grounds of Hemel School in 2016 as part of a wider school improvement project. The business case for those improvements included the potential for the future disposal of Heath Bourne, the council meeting heard. A further review by council officers suggested that there was no current or anticipated county council need for the building. The report highlights a county council policy to dispose of Grade 2 listed buildings where possible due to associated cost and constraints, and that planning permission for the residential development of the site had already been secured.
Jailed after ramming police car. Speeding the wrong way up a Hemel Hempstead road and ramming a police car has landed a motorist in jail. Ben Wilde's dangerous driving was first spotted on Galley Hill, Gadebridge, in the early hours of September the 16th last year, 2025, police said. Officers signalled for him to stop, but he made off at up to around 70 miles per hour along residential roads, travelling on the wrong side of the carriageway and around a roundabout. After reaching a dead end on Gatecroft in the Bennett's End area of town, the 28-year-old rammed a marked police car in a failed attempt to escape. He was arrested at the scene and charged with dangerous driving, criminal damage, failing to provide a specimen for analysis, driving on fraudulent plates, driving without insurance, and driving while disqualified. Wilde, of no fixed address, pleaded guilty to all crimes and was jailed for 16 months at St Albans Crown Court last Friday. He was also disqualified from driving for 5 years, extended by 8 months. Detective Constable Jake Smith, who led the investigation, said the manner of Wilde's driving on the night was dangerous and it's extremely lucky that no one was injured as a result.
Reform councillor defects. Reform UK has lost one of 15 county councillors in Hertfordshire after councillor Peter Coley stepped down, citing abuse and mistreatment he claimed to have endured from members of the Reform Management Group, and to incompetence at a regional and national level. Coley, who was elected to represent the Bedwell division in May last year, announced his departure during a meeting of the County Council on Tuesday. At a local level, he raised concerns about how council funding had been allocated by reform councillors every year. Councillors are allocated a sum through the members' locality budget, which was £5,000 in the 2025 to 26 year, to support community projects. Collie said he did not agree with the acute attention that was being given by reform to increasing funding towards chosen charitable setups that councillors allocate at their preference, including to those controlled by their own partners. How can that be right while increasing the public's council tax contributions? Councillors' privileges need better scrutiny and control by those in a position of authority, he added. Reform has very quickly become just like those other parties, even though they continue to try and desperately lead us all to believe that they are the alternative. A county council spokesperson told the Local Democracy Reporting Service that the authority would review the councillors' allegations made by Councillor Coley and decide whether an investigation is required. Coley told the meeting he intended to continue in his role as a councillor as the county's first representative of the new Restore Britain party. Restore Britain was set up as a pressure group last year by defecting Reform MP Robert Lowe and launched as a political party this month. The party represents itself as an umbrella organisation for the local grassroots organisations and has been described by a number of news outlets as far right. The leader of the council's reform group, Councillor Doug Bainbridge, who was not at the meeting, said the allegations made by Coley about the allocation of members' locality budgets were without substance. Bainbridge added, "Peter has been unhappy for a while, and I hope he finds what he is looking for."
Measles warning. Hertfordshire parents have been warned over a significant measles outbreak in neighbouring area. The county's Director of Public Health, Sarah Pearman, this week urged families to check their children's vaccination status is fully up to date. Her message comes as a significant measles outbreak is affecting several nurseries and schools in Enfield. Ms. Pearman said, "Measles is a nasty illness that can make children very unwell. Sadly, some children who catch measles develop serious complications. One in five children end up needing hospital treatment, and occasionally measles can be fatal. Luckily, there is a very effective and safe vaccine available. One in 10 Hertfordshire children are at risk of catching measles as they are not up to date with it. If you find that your child has missed a dose, please contact your GP practice to make an appointment as soon as possible. There are no cases locally in Hertfordshire, but given our proximity to the affected area and the heightened risk of transmission among unvaccinated children, the County Council says that it is vital children are protected. Measles is a serious illness and carries long-term risks, including inflammation of the brain and even in rare cases, death. The vaccine is offered in two doses, typically offered alongside chickenpox, as well as mumps and rubella at 12 and 18 months. Vaccination coverage of 95% of the eligible population is needed to stop measles from spreading. In Hertfordshire, 93.6% of five-year-old children have had one dose, and 87.7% have had both, significantly higher than the 64.3% of Enfield children with both. However, the council says vaccination rates are still not as high as they should be, and we must not be complacent. An alternative vaccine is available for those who must avoid pork products.
Conman builders jailed. Four men who run a fraudulent construction business exploiting the elderly for money in Hertfordshire and elsewhere, including conning one victim out of £44,000, have been jailed for a combined 13 years. In a London Crown Court heard last week that brothers Jay, Sam and George Cardy, along with accomplice Kenneth Hughes, carried out their offences between 2018 and 2023. Hertfordshire Police said they targeted elderly and vulnerable people turning up at their houses unannounced, claiming to have spotted urgent building work that needed doing. A police investigation found that in many cases the work was either unnecessary or completely to a substandard level. Hertfordshire Constabulary said victims were pressured into paying immediately, either by bank transfer or in some cases by being taken to the bank to withdraw cash. Magistrates heard that one resident in St Albans in their 80s was charged £44,000 for roof repairs. Several other victims were based in St Albans, while police said the fraudsters also targeted OAPs in Bushey and Luton, as well as further afield in Exeter, Bradford and Bovington in Devon. In total, they made £100,000 from their dishonest operation. The quartet were also sentenced for fraud-related offences. Jay Cardy of Oakridge Lane, Watford, was jailed for 5 years. Sam Cardy, aged 30, from Park Street, St Albans, for 2 years and 3 months. George Cardy of Northampton Road, Market Harborough, for 2 years and 10 months. And Kenneth Hughes of St Thomas Road, Luton, for 3 years and 2 months. Some of the victims have been compensated by their banks, and further action will be taken to recover stolen funds, including a confiscation order, a spokesman for Hertfordshire Constabulary said. Detective Constable Vicky Cornelius from Hertfordshire Constabulary Serious Fraud and Cyber Unit said the gang deliberately targeted vulnerable residents. They even left some victims with no roof during the winter months. Many were very elderly and felt they had no choice but to pay the bills, often leaving them thousands of pounds out of pocket. Sadly, one of the victims has passed away and never got to see justice. Cornelius added, "If you have a trader calling at your home uninvited, never agree to anything or part with any cash straight away. If you're in doubt, contact Hertfordshire Trading Standards to check their legitimacy."
Council redundancy package. Hertfordshire County Council chiefs have drawn up plans to offer a financial package to staff who choose to leave their jobs as part of a drive to make £5 million worth of workforce savings. In a continuing bid to cut costs, the authority has already deleted vacant posts, frozen recruitment for non-essential roles, and reduced spending with employment agencies. They have promoted a scheme that enables staff to purchase additional leave, but now they have drawn up plans for a new mutually accepted resignation scheme, known as MARS, where staff could choose to leave the council in return for a severance payment. Officers suggest the scheme would provide a fair and transparent option for those looking to leave the council voluntarily. They say it would help the council manage its financial position, supporting workforce cost reduction without resorting to compulsory redundancies. The terms of the scheme, which was endorsed by the council's employment committee last Tuesday, have not been made public, nor has the county council revealed how many staff they would expect to leave or the amounts it would ultimately save. According to a report presented to the employment committee, the council would have complete discretion over whether an application was accepted or refused. And among those excluded would be staff members who are going through a formal employment process, such as a performance or disciplinary process or redundancy. Similarly, no one would be considered for the new scheme if they were going through the ill health retirement process or had already resigned. In addition, an application would only be successful, according to the report, if the applicant's post could remain unfilled without further recruitment or reliance on agency staff. following the endorsement of the scheme by the Employment Committee, the County Council's Director of People is now expected to engage directly with the Council's recognised trade union officials.
And now, what's on? Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, February the 26th to March the 1st, comedy, General Medical Emergency Ward 10. The award-winning Dyad Productions and company Gavin Robertson are joining forces. Every hospital, medical-based, doctors and nurses, cliché-ridden drama on stage in a comedy mash-up spoof. It'll have you in stitches. Afternoon and evening performance, tickets from £13.
Films at Hemel Hempstead Cineworld this week include Wuthering Heights, Certificate 15, a drama, Goat, PG, an animation comedy, Cold Storage, 15, action, Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die, 15, action, comedy, Waste Man, 18, a drama, Crime 101, Certificate 15, drama, Send Help, 15, action, The Housemaid, 15, drama, Avatar, Fire and Ash, 12A, action, Hamnet, 12A, a drama.
And films at the Rexburgh Hempstead this week include Nouvelle Vague, a Certificate 12A drama, Is This Thing On, a Certificate 15 drama, and Wuthering Heights, Certificate 15 drama. All popular films are provided to cinemas with an audio description track. Please mention your requirements at the time of booking.
And now some sports news. Tudor Sea off Worthing. Lee Allinson couldn't hide his delight after his Hemel Hempstead Town side saw off fellow playoff contenders Worthing 1-0 last weekend. New signing Reme Campbell struck the only goal of the game with a composed finish after half an hour to maintain Hemel's seventh position in the National League South standings. And Allinson told the club's media it was a huge 3 points. He said, "It was an unbelievable performance because when you play a team like Worthing, who are the best footballing team in the league by a county mile, along with Dorking, we said to the lads today it was about 100% concentration. Sometimes the fear of failure is worse than actual failure. So we said to go out there and just go out there and give it their all and make it a really uncomfortable afternoon for Worthing, because they have long spells and dominate possession, but it's how you defend against that, and I thought we did brilliantly. I felt we could go and hit them on the counter-attack. We've got some great chances before going ahead. Then they have dominated us, I would say, for long periods of the last 20 to 25 minutes, but we defended brilliantly well, and it's all round unbelievable performance. It's also frustrating, if I'm honest, because I needed to see that performance last week against Hampton on Tuesday night, and the week before for 70 minutes against Ebbsfleet, and and the week before against Dover Athletic. So you can't do what we've done today and against Maidstone in a few weeks ago, and then slip up in those other games. But you can't take anything away from the group today, as I thought they were absolutely magnificent. Hemel are back in action on Saturday when they go to Horsham, before then visiting Chelmsford City on Monday night.
Storm win again. Hemel Storm made it back-to-back wins with a 96-71 victory over Loughborough Riders at the Storm Dome on Saturday evening. It's the first time they've achieved that accolade this season, and it was done to comfortable style, leading the game for all but a couple of second-quarter minutes. There are clear signs Tom Baker's side are trending in the right direction, and many of the issues that have plagued them during a tough campaign to date were absent here. They won the rebound battle, aided by the return of Darian Nelson-Henry, and a collective desire to get on the boards was obvious. All nine men used in the game recorded a rebound and five of them picked up four or more. A fifth win of the BCB league season put some distance between themselves in 11th and the Riders one spot behind them, and Baker is yet to rule out a late playoff push. Storm started well and had the lead as high as 9 at stages in the first quarter, but it was cut to 5 at the first break, 26-21. The score, an 8-2 Riders run to open their second period, saw them briefly take the lead before a well-used Baker timeout instigated an unanswered run of 9 points. Storm's 46-38 advantage was soon extended after the break thanks to some stubborn defence. Storm conceded only 11 points throughout the third quarter and led 66-49 at the end of it. 6 straight points to open the final period all but confirmed the outcome, and a strong offensive showing ensured that there was no way back for the guests. Storm remained in control with Easy threatening to steal the show. He had 11 in the period and finished proceedings with consecutive 3 points at his side as his side cruised to a 25-point victory. Reminder for those interested in sports news, on Saturday afternoon, Three Counties Radio broadcast on FM 103.8, Heart Radio are on FM 97.6, and TalkSport are on medium wave 108.9.
Progress for Police. Chief Constable Andy Proffitt has highlighted the progress made by Hertfordshire Police over the past year, with more crimes investigated, more crimes solved, and more people arrested. Mr. Proffitt took over as Hertfordshire's top cop in January last year, just months after an inspection by His Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary and Fire and Rescue Services, HMICFRS, rated the force as inadequate at recording data about crime. Last Monday, Mr. Proffitt highlighted the constabulary's progress. It's been a really brilliant 13 months, he told councillors. And he reminded councillors of the constabulary's inadequate inspection rating for the recording of crime, with estimates then having suggested that almost 1 in 5 reported crimes went unrecorded. He was now able to reassure councillors that this had already been addressed. My assessment is that the inadequate recording of crime has been closed as a cause for concern, he said. So the inspector has visited us on that and closed it. We are now recording far closer to all crimes. We are recording more crimes properly. We are investigating more crime, solving more crime, arresting more people. Proffitt also highlighted the improvement in time taken to answer emergency and non-emergency calls and in the number of crimes being solved in the county. But the Chief Constable stressed that with 88,000 crimes reported overall, he wanted the number of crimes solved to be higher. He told councillors in 2025 we solved 10,750 crimes, and that was an increase of nearly 1,500 on the year before. But it's not enough. We want to solve more crime because we had 88,000 recorded crimes. To say we solved 10,500 of them isn't a claim to fame, but we are solving more crime. Yes, all right. But my ambition is that we solve far more crime than that. At the meeting, Mr. Proffitt told councillors the constabulary had arrested and charged 160 burglars, almost 2,000 drug dealers, 61 car thieves, 130 street robbers, and nearly 1,000 domestic abusers.
Off duty but on the ball. An off-duty volunteer police officer helped stop a drink driver from causing a collision in Hemel Hempstead. Special Constable Amanda Bonds was driving through the town when she witnessed the vehicle swerving, braking erratically and posing a danger to the public. Suspecting the driver was under the influence, she immediately called 999, provided updates to the control room and followed the car at a safe distance until officers could attend. The vehicle entered the local leisure park, where it narrowly avoided several parked cars and pedestrians. Bond stepped in on foot, identified herself as a police officer, and brought the vehicle to a stop, safeguarding the occupants until Hemel response officers arrived. The driver was arrested, the car was seized, and the passengers taken safely home. Mark 2A, aged 39, of Stamborough Avenue, Borehamwood, was subsequently charged with drink driving and using a vehicle without insurance. He appeared at St Albans Magistrates Court on February the 3rd, where he pleaded guilty to the offences. He was disqualified from holding or obtaining a driving licence for 21 months and fined £365. Bond said, "Even when we're off duty, our priority is always the safety of the public. When I saw the way the vehicle was being driven, it was clear that someone could get seriously hurt. Special constables volunteer their time and skills to help keep communities safe, often going beyond and above, going above and beyond both on and off duty. They have set the same powers as regular police officers."
Tackling online predators. Hertfordshire Police said its teams have secured 136 years worth of convictions in 12 months as part of a child predator crackdown. Hertfordshire detectives have been working on cases which will help keep children in the county safe. Called Hertfordshire Constabulary's Child Online Safeguarding Team, COST, it was named as the police force's team of the year for 2025. COST investigates adults who exploit or target children through digital platforms. The team deals with some of the most complex and harrowing offences committed online. Data from the force shows that COST handled 564 referrals, which resulted in search warrants and arrests. Many of the cases were passed to the team by the National Crime Agency, who identify abusers online and pass the details to individual forces to investigate. In 2025, the team made 154 arrests for suspected incidents of rape, incest, distributing indecent images of children, and other offences. Of the 564 referrals, 305 suspects were charged. A further 116 suspects remain on bail while investigations continue. Police said the team is managing 555 live cases. Detective Inspector Faye Tooley, who leads the unit, said, "This is difficult work, but we are completely committed. It is also extremely rewarding when you catch someone who you know was planning to harm a child. Offenders think they can hide online behind fake identities or on the dark web, but my message to those who target children in this way is, we will find you."
Ovaltine Memories. A 1967 Ovaltine calendar produced at the company's Kings Langley location as a promotional gift for sales representatives and business stocking has been shortlisted for Hertfordshire Museum's Object of the Year. With bold and dynamic illustrations that perfectly capture the spirit of the late 1960s, the calendar was distributed far beyond Hertfordshire, helping to spread the brand's message of supreme energy around the globe. It has been carefully cleaned and repaired and strengthened by a paper conservator to restore its original vibrancy, with minor tears mended and perforations reinforced. Find out more about the calendar and vote for your object of the year at www.shorttirl.at/Q/VEEY. www.shorttirl.at/Q/VEEY.
K Catwoman Skydive. A former charity volunteer in Hemel Hempstead who rehomed 14 cats in a single year has set herself a new challenge to help abandoned pets. Bryony, who previously helped charity Animal Support Angels as a volunteer, is planning a skydive next month to raise funds for the organisation. Animal Support Angels is a not-for-profit group that was launched in Hemel Hempstead by Amanda Broom in 2019 to support abandoned cats. Volunteers and staff provide vehicles for sick or injured animals and coordinate with other charities in larger animal rescue missions. Bryony writes in her fundraiser, which can be found on GoFundMe, "I rescued my beautiful Tilly from a small rescue in Yorkshire 10 years ago. Before committing to welcoming four more feline paws, I wanted to foster and see how Tilly would behave. That led me to Amanda and her amazing charity. So I started fostering, and in 1 year I helped 14 cats find their forever home. To be part of that process was so special." Bryony said that although she can no longer assist in a fostering role, she still supports the charity as a volunteer. Her skydive is scheduled to take place on March the 7th.
Walk for Frank. A father and son will have an overnight stop in Tring next month as part of a 71-mile charity walk in aid of the Frank Bruno Foundation. Dave Young, the chief executive of Independent Support Limited, and his son Sean are walking from Wembley Stadium to the Foundation's headquarters in Northampton. The charity supports individuals with learning disabilities and mental health issues. Their challenge is taking place from the 23rd to the 27th of March, with the pair's route on day two taking them from Croxley Green to the Cow Roast pub near Tring. Bruno will join them for the final mile of their walk. They chose Wembley Stadium as their starting point to honour the location where Bruno won his first World Heavyweight Boxing Championship title in 1995, when he beat Oliver McCall on points. Last year, the Youngs walked 99 miles from Dave's house in Leicestershire to the charity's headquarters in Macclesfield, raising more than £3,300. Speaking about the challenge, Dave Young said, "Last year showed us what we can achieve when people come together behind a cause that affects so many lives. Mental health touches every family in some way. If walking 71 miles helps raise awareness and support even more people through the Frank Bruno Foundation, every step will be worth it." A fundraising page set up to build up the walk has raised £915 at the time of writing.
And finally, Church's Gift from Oz. Artwork created in the 17th century that was decorating a church in Hertfordshire has been found 30 years after it was stolen. A wooden panel believed to have been created in the 1600s was taken from St Leonard's Church in Flamstead. It was reported missing in 1996 and its location was unknown until a member of the Heraldry Society living in Australia discovered the panel was available to purchase via an online auction. The panel was created to celebrate George Caudle, who served in the royal households of the three monarchs. Vicar Reverend Joe Burke at St Leonard's received an email from Richard de Spice in Australia asking about the panel. He revealed that the painting was up for sale at an auction in England and said it must have been stolen due to its links to Hertfordshire. Police officers and art dealer regulars were informed about the suspected theft. Representatives at the church were able to locate evidence proving the panel's origins in Hertfordshire. Auctioneers were informed of the suspected theft and the panel was returned to Flamstead. It had been put up for sale for £1,200. The panel can once again be viewed in Flamstead and represents Esquire Caudle, who served Queen Elizabeth I, King James I and King Charles I across 60 years. Details held by the church show that he was Sergeant of the Urery and oversaw the presentation of the royal table. Caudle is buried alongside his wife of more than 57 years, Dorothy, at the Flamstead Church.
We're coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 07:04 and 17:29. For those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, "Alexa, open the Talking Newspaper skill," followed by "Play Decorum Talking Newspaper." For those who are listening to this week's news on Memory Stick, the amenities and services information follows after the final music. Please remove your memory stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Seal it up firmly, turn the label over and post it back to us at Adeyfield Community Centre, the Queen's Square, Hemel Hempstead, HP2 4EW, using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next week, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and your technician. This week, John.